Now, here's your host, Tom Donahue, an investigative broadcaster and a man on a mission.
Well, finally, we have Trump criticizing the Federal Reserve in a much stronger, much more forceful way. And at one of his rallies recently in Pennsylvania, Trump says regarding the stock market drop that the Fed has gone crazy. Okay, that's a start. That's a good thing. Then I look at some of the other headlines shortly thereafter. Some of you are probably fans of Larry Kudlow. Larry Kudlow, of course, did a radio program on the weekends, and it was a very popular financial program. He was also part of NBC as a business program, an analyst. He has a very strong relationship with Trump, and Fox News always loved him, too, and he was embraced generally by conservatives. But you have to remember, he's a strong proponent. I mean, he is favorably disposed to the Federal Reserve system. And there's no Federal Reserve secrets, conspiracy. There's no issue that he's ever going to allow to creep in ideology or his philosophy or his outlook on the Federal Reserve system. And so Kudlow was very quick to, it wasn't a matter of him criticizing the president, but I think it was his way of putting some boundaries, some constraints, and perspective as to what he is claiming the president believes. And this is the quotation or the headline that came from Larry Kudlow just recently. And Kudlow says here, because he is an economic advisor, he says the Fed remains independent. Trump not dictating policy. Well, Trump, right after that, Trump calls the Federal Reserve too aggressive in interest rate increases, and it's a ridiculous policy. So I like some of the terminology. I like that Trump is at least being a little more vocal, a little more critical, but it generally pertains to policies. If it's affecting the economy to some extent, if it's affecting the stock market, Wall Street. However, you know, the Federal Reserve can make or break a president. We've seen it happen before. But I also believe that, let's say, for instance, well, even to some degree, Rand Paul, but more importantly, I would say that a better example would have been his father if he had become president. And there's no doubt that there would have been, at minimum, an audit of the Federal Reserve System. And some of you say, why do you keep bringing this up? There's so many other issues to cover. There's so many. Well, it is true. I mean, you want to talk about breaking news, not like the phony and biased CNN way of breaking news or sensationalizing storms. Although this particular storm, and we'll get to that too, was quite sensational in terms of its devastation. It wasn't just a rain out, wasn't just flooding. It was powerful. But speaking of powerful, the Federal Reserve is powerful. Might be the most powerful agency. Well, maybe Bank of England, but I think the Federal Reserve and its associations with the Bank of England. But when I see an opening and I see the ways and the means to convene the subject matter as it relates to the Federal Reserve System. And the reason it's so important is because they control not only the economic destiny of this country, pretty much the world in terms of the decisions they make, but it's also a lot of decisions that you'll never see or never have. And you're saying, well, they do release certain minutes of meetings. I'm talking about the real private meetings. I'm talking about the people that are behind the board of directors and behind the Federal Reserve director himself, you know, or the chairman, I should say. And so I have to say that, you know, the president at least being critical on policy is a start. But I'm a little bit surprised, somewhat aghast, really, that Rand Paul, when he's playing golf with the president, And Rand Paul, when he's at conversation with the president, and when he lobbies the president for certain things, and vice versa, that there hasn't been, and maybe there has been, a serious discussion about the roots, and about the history, and about the secret nature, and the lack of audit, the lack of transparency of the Federal Reserve System. So I'm going to be one of those hosts, I'm going to be one of those shows that harp on this. And if you don't like that, believe me, there's avenues and roads for you. There's Numbnuts Lane, you know, there's Knucklehead Theater, there's a lot of places you can go. If you are interested in the core values of this country, and you have to remember that the Founding Fathers, except for Hamilton and his associations with the Bank of England, and with stronger centralized, not only banking, but government. But you have Thomas Jefferson, who's my hero, and he talked about how banks and bankers were more dangerous than standing armies. He understood, and quite frankly, the Article 1, Section 8, Article 1, Section 10 of the United States Constitution is very clear that Congress has the power to coin and regulate the value of money, and that no state debt can be paid unless it's in gold or silver. And so by giving us this fiat currency, and by allowing for this private agency, and so it's really interesting when you have Larry Kudlow and his quotation about being remains independent. Well, the reason that it remains independent is because there are shareholders, and that it really is a private, independent agency. Although, if you have a president like Donald Trump that wants to say, you know what? Okay, you want to make this quasi apparatus, this using the term federal and implying that it's part of the federal government. Well, then we're going to treat it that way. So Donald Trump, I think, could really assert himself, and he could be the Thomas Jefferson, he could be the Andrew Jackson, he could be even John F. Kennedy, which we've talked about before, and the release of the $2 and $5 bills. It said United States Treasury note, not Federal Reserve note. And so there was a big difference, and he was starting to work his way, at least that was the hope, to a non-interest-bearing currency, to this so-called governmental agency, which really is a private agency, which is really controlled by shareholders, and it's controlled by the major money market banks, and also goes back to European ownership, goes back to these power elite families, you know, the wise men, you know, the secret cabal that is really dictating financial policies throughout the world. Maybe Trump has been told that, well, other presidents have lost their lives in part, if not more than in part, because they stood up to the banksters. But I think that, you know, Larry Kudlow and these others, they because they have so much at stake, not only in their personal and professional lives, but it's because they want to be part of the system, and they want this to be an acceptable part of the system, and they don't want to change that status quo. But I am hoping and I'm praying that the president at some point will do the right thing and will call for an audit of the Federal Reserve, and more than that. We're going to talk more about the Fed, and we'll even have guests on the subject as well. Well, this is really interesting. Speaking of the Fed, Lou Dobbs says this about Larry Kudlow, in reference to Larry Kudlow in some of the earlier reports that I shared with you. And it says, Bill Shine, tackle the son of a gun before he does any more damage. Now, Bill Shine was a chief executive at Fox. So Fox business host Lou Dobbs is calling for his old boss, Bill Shine, to tackle Larry Kudlow before the director of the National Economic Council says anything else that either contradicts or embarrasses President Donald Trump. Kudlow defended the Federal Reserve by insisting that it remains politically independent from the White House and is not acting off of dictated policies from the president. As for Trump, he said the Federal Reserve has gone crazy during his 46-minute Fox and Friends interview, slamming them over increasing interest rates and the rocky situation of the current stock market. Dobbs held a conversation about this yesterday with Great America PAC chief Ed Rollins, who said Kudlow needs to get in line behind Trump on Fed policy. Dobbs agreed, and he called for his former superior, now White House Chief of Staff for Communications, to straighten Kudlow out. Bill Shine, if you're listening, tackle the son of a gun before he does any more damage or utters more disrespectful nonsense before the press. This is Lou Dobbs. So I'm not the only cynic and critic as it relates to this. But again, Lou Dobbs was a Wall Street insider. I know he pretended to be a populist, somewhat of an imposter on CNN. Then he kind of backed away from that to some degree. And then he became a born-again Trumper and a renewed a populist and nationalist. And so he's kind of wavered here and there. And I'm somewhat distrustful of him because his roots are not Main Street. It's actually Wall Street. But nevertheless, there has been some good work. And I applaud his comments. And perhaps he actually is looking at the Fed in a little bit different light than he used to. Who knows? But interesting stuff as it relates to the Federal Reserve.
You love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store. Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
Okay, so we have Kanye West, okay? I mean, this is... it's somewhat comical. It's also somewhat ironic. It is weird. It is strange. It is bizarre. However, when it comes to politics, there's a lot of strange bedfellows. There's a lot of strange actors or characters. Now, remember, Obama loved having rappers and hip-hoppers and gangster thugs in the White House. So it's really interesting that Trump's supposed to be a racist. He's supposed to be someone that has problems with people of a darker complexion, and you see more and more people, whether it's Jim Brown, the you know, probably the best football player ever, and you know, certainly running back, and you have various other people that, you know, are embracing the president that is driving the Dems, the demon Dems, crazy. If you look at his lyrics, if you look at, you know, his musical talent, it's dubious, it's questionable, and I think it's atrocious, but that's just my opinion. But it's interesting also that you see, you know, the conservative, many conservative radio hosts, you have many conservative TV pundits, you have conservatism in general that are embracing him because he's embracing the president. But if that would have been Obama and one of his rappers come in and want to hug him and you know, wear an Obama hat, you know, or some kind of Obama garb, and would have talked the way he talked, you know that in reverse, there would be heavy criticism. They would say that, you know, the White House has become the outhouse. And I said that with some of the guests, that not only the two Bushies had at times, but Obama much worse, and that you really needed to fumigate the place, and you really needed Roto-Rooter, and you needed a good house cleaning. And, you know, so I just think there's so much hypocrisy, you know, from the left, from the right, and that it's okay when they do it if it works for them. But if it's the opposing team, one's got the black hat, the white hat, well, I guess we have a red hat now, but, you know, it's, you know, I marvel at the fact, you know, that politics always plays a role. But yeah, so I was watching, and it was a spectacle. In many respects, I am glad that he is supportive of the president, that he, you know, essentially he felt that by putting on that hat, it was like putting on a Superman cape, and it was empowering. So there were some, I mean, he does have some interesting views. And he does have interesting perspectives, and he does have some insights, and so I'll give him that. But some of it was just mumbo jumbo. Some of it was just, you know, utter nonsense, in terms of the things he was tossing out there. Now, I don't know if it's the so-called bipolar. I don't know if it's on meds, off meds. I don't know if he said he's at times sleep deprived. I don't know if it's just, raw patriotism, but whatever it is, it got a lot of attention, and he claimed, I mean, he actually proclaimed to the president that some of his deals with Adidas and whatnot, he's a billionaire. So, I mean, for someone that, if let's say we were back in the 50s or the 60s even, and you said, this is going to be the music of the early, you know, 2000s, you know, and this is going to be, a man that is going to become a billionaire. And this is a guy that's going to, with all his erratic behavior, and as Taylor Swift about that. But I just marvel at the spectacle. But so I see the conservatives milking this for everything they can get, and hoping that this translates into more people, whether it's African American or just people of a different complexion, certainly people of color that'll come out and vote for the president. Now, will they vote for the president? You know, meaning the party, the midterms, because really he may not be the president if they don't retain the House, and certainly the Senate, of course. And he's the one throwing around the word impeachment. And again, it's interesting. The Oval Office, you know, some of the things that go on in there. I mean, you, Kim Kardashian, and I agree that I'm glad there's prison reform. I'm glad there's sentencing reform. I just think that I'm not talking about violent offenders. I'm not talking about people that are repeat offenders. I'm talking about people that are nonviolent. I'm talking about people that they made a mistake. Maybe it was their only mistake, or there were such petty or process crimes. And so I'm glad that Kim Kardashian's gotten involved in this, and I guess Kanye to some extent. And I like the fact that at least there's a recognition that there's some good things happening in this country, and that it's a good time to put on your patriotic garb or your MAGA hat. It really is. I mean, there's a lot to talk about as it relates to this presidency. In terms of, I mean, you have Kid Rock at the same day rocking the White House because of a major music regulation bill to be signed. So there's so much going on. Melania Trump's on ABC News and granting interviews and saying she's the most bullied person in the world. Well, I beg to differ. I find that pretty surprising. I mean, I think she has been bullied by the press unfairly. I mean, she seems like a very, very good person, someone that's you know, just trying to do, there's no ill will with her. And matter of fact, she tries to tone down the president and tries to, you know, pull in the reins a little bit. I mean, the whole campaign, you know, for the anti-bullying, which, I think it's a great campaign, but, you know, you've got her husband, the president, And again, you have the good, the bad, and the ugly, but there are times that he can, you know, not only be boisterous, but bullying. And some, you know, we call it the bully pulpit. Well, I mean, look at some of what he does on Twitter. It's not always counterpunching, you know, which I agree that you got to fight back. But sometimes he takes on little pipsqueaks, little, you know, petty. He has these petty feuds with inconsequential, you know, figures that he's doing that less than he used to. But there were many times where he would take on, you know, some little journalist or some little actress or just someone that really he just brought a lot of attention to them that they probably are reaping the benefits of. But nevertheless, you know, I do believe that Melania has been bullied by the media, you know, has been maligned by the media. And so she's speaking out on a lot of things. One of the things she said was that there's some people in that White House that, you know, she is very dubious about, very distrustful of. And even the president said, well, we're weeding them out. You know, there's still more that have to go. Well, he's got a record number in that turnstile. And it just keeps, the turnover just keeps churning and churning. And I just hope that he can find, you know, better candidates, you know, that are more loyalist and really do believe in the cause and will support him in more triumphs. That's what we need, for absolutely, positively, for sure.
So you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store. Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show, putting America first and patriotism in action.
How is it that Hillary Clinton, hellish Hillary, is still around? She's still shooting her mouth off, still interjecting herself. She is a political interloper. If I were the Democrat Party, or if I were part of that party, or if I was in the hierarchy of that party, I would kick her to the curb. I would evict her from the House of the Democrats, and I would padlock it, you know, and maybe she needs to be put into a straitjacket, but the woman is mentally ill. I mean, she can't get over the fact that she's a loser. But some people, they just crave the limelight, they crave the power, and they gotta drink from the punch bowl of power, and that's really what we've got with Hillary. But I'll tell you, there are a few Democrats, including Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama still wants to stick with her motto of when they go low, we go high. I look at Democratic Senator Heitkamp, slams Clinton, Hillary Clinton, calling for her party to abandon civility with the GOP. So the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, presidential candidate, but her comments regarding Hillary Clinton says, to not be civil with Republicans any longer is unproductive and simply ridiculous. And in stark repudiation of Clinton's comments, Senator Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota said, and she's kind of in that red state area of the country, and she did vote against Brett Kavanaugh. The bottom line here, if a Republican said that we should intentionally be uncivil, you want to talk about a repudiation. You'd want to talk about a retaliation. So we have this party now that is endorsing, and we know this from the harassment at restaurants. We know this because of Antifa, and we have a lot of radical progressive libs. What they're progressing towards, except for socialism and communism, and maybe even anarchy, it's not a good thing, okay? Another article here, and I mentioned moments ago that Michelle Obama rebukes Holder and Hillary Clinton over calls for political warfare. And so they're wanting to weaponize not only their words, but their deeds as it relates to any interactions with Republicans. And there's more derogatory comments as it relates to red state, the Midwest, you know, anything that's not San Francisco, Los Angeles, or New York, or Boston, Massachusetts. You have to be a coastal Dem. And apparently, if you voted for, of course, you know, President Trump, if you're going to vote in the midterms for Republicans, you're basically labeled not only a deplorable, but a degenerate. You know, or someone that is despicable, that is detestable, you know, and these terms have been used. The disparaging remarks, the heinous attacks, some of them physical, some of them verbal. You're essentially seeing the Democrat Party become the party of radicalism, the party. It's all about resistance, but there's really no game plan. There's really, you know, except for, you know, socialism. Right now, even Obama just embraced, like Hillary said back in the 90s, with her, and she was kind of the master strategist of the healthcare plan that Bill Clinton, her husband, remember it was the 2-for-1, you know, and that was to essentially have the government take on all health care. And so now they're talking about a single payer, and that the government will manage, will regulate, will control all aspects of one's health care. So if you have Obama endorsing this, and so Bernie Sanders is like, wait a minute, they now want to raise the minimum wage to, you know, be not just a living wage, but even if it puts small businesses out of work, whatever they arbitrarily decide, that's the way it should be, and that the government should manage and control all healthcare decisions. This big brother and big sister coming together. So Obama's becoming even more radicalized, more emboldened. So we've got the radicalization. Senator Rand Paul warns of assassination, not just violence, but assassination after what he saw as it related to the Kavanaugh confirmation. He said, I really worry someone is going to get killed. It is a violent civil unrest. It's now gone beyond just resistance. No, so they're really, the only plan is just to resist anything that the Republicans, or Donald Trump in particular, suggest, propose, even if it means bringing down this government, bringing down the economy, in any way interfering, interrupting, disrupting, that's their plan. Okay, isn't that just wonderful? That's just lovely.
TalkRite, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRite makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRite today from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show, liberty-loving and freedom-fighting.
So let's continue with our discussion about hellish Hillary. Now, Hillary Clinton, beyond her remarks about being uncivil, that because of what happened with Kavanaugh, among other things, you can no longer be civil as it relates to communications and relations with the Republican Party, with the GOP. So because Trump talked favorably and discounted or dismissed Ford Blasey's allegations, among the other crazies, as it related to alleged sexual abuse as a teenager and young college student. Hillary also says the allegations against Bill, her husband, have significant differences from Kavanaugh and Trump. This was an article that came out of Mediaite, an interview that she had. She actually said that she sees a distinction. Isn't that just lovely? What Bill Clinton did with an intern in the White House, besides, the women outside of the White House, is significantly different. Okay, we're talking about he was the president of the United States in the White House, and he made it into an outhouse. And Kavanaugh's accusers go back to late teens and early 20s, and so nothing else, no other allegations after that. So that is significantly worse in her mind, in her view, and she makes this distinction, which is, I mean, that just shows you how hellish and how heinous and how ridiculous and I'll use another H, how hilarious this woman is, okay? I mean, it's insane that how could anyone continue enabling and covering up and in denial of what Bill Clinton did, okay? I mean, lying about it, he got impeached. I think there's clear and convincing evidence, okay? These weren't just suggestions. These weren't just, mere flimsy allegations against your husband, the President of the United States. I thought this was interesting, a little bit of a side note here, that the White House suggests that Avenatti helped in the confirmation of Kavanaugh. Yeah, because things got sensationalized. They were some bogus and far-fetched allegations, basically a smear campaign. So it really undermined the primary witness, undermined the investigation and the process. So it became more of a circus, overblown, magnified by 1,000 times, a situation that was just plumb ridiculous. Okay, Nikki Haley resigns. Well, I didn't think she was a great UN ambassador. Yes, she stood up to some countries, and she was assertive, and that she was articulate. But many times, she said things that seemed to be in stark contrast to what the president campaigned on, what the president has pledged to his base. It just seemed to me that not only her comments about the Me Too movement, but also the fact that she is a warmongerer. You know, she is basically cut from the cloth of John Bolton. So we had a UN ambassador that was going back to kind of like the Bush and the Cheney era, if you will. And so it'd be great to see a UN ambassador that did not want to be so bellicose and so brazen and be so interventionist. You know, so that's the way I see it. I just think that you're supposed to be a diplomat. And yes, you're supposed to stand up for America. And yes, there are times that we want to stand up for the world. But we don't want to be, you know, meddling in the affairs of others. We don't want to put our troops and our country in harm's way. And that we need someone that is truly more of a statesman, a diplomat, and essentially the female incarnation of John Bolton. Now, I know that offends some of you out there because you don't have a problem with Mr. Walrus mustache himself, but the mustache, we'll just call him the stash. But I do, because this was someone that helped precipitate our involvement in Middle East conflicts, if not wars, and seemed to gloat about it. So I'm not a fan of John Bolton. Well, he was a contributor on Fox News. Well, I don't give a dang. Okay, you know, if you want to take a trip down Numbnuts Lane, you want to go to Nimrodsville or Knucklehead Theater, by all means, go and do so. So we have more turnover, and I like the way it was handled. That they had kind of a mini presser, if you will, right there at the White House, and so she made statements on the record that she was leaving on her own accord, that she was not running against the president in 2020, that she was going to support the president in his reelection. So if she does anything other than what she said there, then she'll be proved to be a liar, a turncoat, you know, a backstabber, and just a pure evil person. So I don't know what she has planned. I don't know what, you know, I don't know the backstory, the backdrop here, but I have a feeling that the president, it was his decision, not hers, but she can claim that it's hers, but they handled it, I thought, in a very good way, so that they could both come out winners in this.
Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
In our final minutes here, I do want to... You know, my heart aches and my prayers and my thoughts are with the Floridians and unimaginable destruction and just devastation, wishing and hoping and praying for the best. Okay, with that said, I wanted to touch on a few more things here. Isn't it interesting that McConnell's come out like a hero? Like people are clapping for him now. People are praising his leadership. You know, what happened here? I think it was the Trump effect. You know, McConnell really has shown a lot of testicular fortitude. He's shown a lot of courage. He's shown a lot of leadership abilities. He's an effective, you know, leader of the Senate. I mean, it's pretty amazing, you know, the partnership that he's forged with the president. And they're making a lot of big things happen. It's pretty amazing. A study just came out, which is not unusual. But it says that TV coverage, meaning the press coverage, of the president is 92% negative. This is according to, this was published by Newsbusters. And I've seen other studies, you know, and it's been reported that 90, 91, anything above 90% that's negative. I mean, with all the positive news, all the good things, all the accomplishments, all the successes, all the winning, and 92% negative. Is that fake? Well, I guess you could say that. Is it biased? Absolutely. Is it really, are they the enemy of the people? Well, it surely would seem so, at least more than half the country. But that's just my take on that. Another piece of news here, the GOP loads up on lame duck agenda, just in the event, just in case. They don't control Congress like they hope, and we pray that they do. Ryan and McConnell both say the GOP base is activated, they're animated, and they're all fired up, and they're ready for the fight because we're talking about the fight at the polls. We're talking about turnout, not the civil unrest, you know, not the resistance, and not the violence, okay? We're not talking about that, but we are talking about the base, you know, of the Republican Party, the base that is supportive of the president. That got them fired up, and that's a good thing. But the Dems, they want to wage war, and a literal war, and not just, you know, peaceful resistance or coexistence. It's a fever pitch violence, okay? That's really where we're at. Michael Savage's new book came out, and he's talking about the left's orchestrated mass hysteria. So we'll get into that at some point, too. And he's right on the money. Trump rips Democrats in their embrace of Medicare for all. And he says the centrist Democrat Party is dead. Well, he's absolutely right about that. So the Democrats have a couple new schemes, up their sleeve. And not only just the retaliation and the resistance, but we're also talking about they want to change the Electoral College. They think it's racist. Okay, so they're saying that if we eliminate the Electoral College, that means that the smaller states, that would even include Vermont, okay, for the libs. Talking about states like Montana and Idaho. You've got, a lot of not just geographically small states, but we're talking about very sparse population. And when you have that, then they would become essentially non-essential. And that's what they want. They want just heavy population bases on the coast. The other strategy that they seem to be wanting to employ is they want to increase the number of seats on the Supreme Court. Oh, wait a minute. I mean, where did this cockamamie idea come from? You know, so they're coming up with all these schemes that are outside the bounds of the Constitution. Or actually turning over the Constitution and our constitutional republic. But then again, if they're embracing the principles of socialism and communism, well then, in effect, that's the plan. And so there's so much to cover, so much to discuss, and that's why I'm going to continue producing content. I'm so glad you were with us for this week's version of Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. Till we meet again, here is Audio Rewind. Tom Donahue Show, information that's worthy of hearing again. And the title of these two articles that I want to touch on, and also Pat Buchanan, we'll get to that too. Is America super rich? Six things to know. Is America an oligarchy? And I found these articles on the same day. And here's the other one from Zero Hedge. Wealth of the top 1% surpasses $100 trillion, more than the global GDP. And all the central bank balance sheets in the entire world. That's right, the top 1%. Now, you have to remember that some of these folks in talk radio, they really had no issues, no problems with the Bushies, you know, Papa Bush, Son Bush, and their New World Order, because it was Republicans versus Democrats. Now, I am glad that Republicans have come more towards my way of thinking, and certainly the way of Pat Buchanan and Trump. And those of you that are new to the political arena, You know, you really don't know, have a lot of history as it relates to whether it's your voting, whether it's just keeping informed. Maybe it's just because of your youth. But let me just tell you something, that Pat Buchanan was a trailblazer. And Pat Buchanan, along with others in the patriotic liberty, freedom, truth movements, helped blaze the trails, okay? The trailblazers, if you will. And there's no question that Pat Buchanan was one of the first in the political realm when he ran for president. And I've said this before, and I'll repeat it again. He's the one that took on Papa Bush and the New World Order. And what was Rush Limbaugh doing? I guess with the stogie and down South Florida and popping pills and whatever else he was doing. But the point is, I'm not taking away from the talent of I used to say the blowfish from New York, but then he moved to South Florida. So I guess, well, blowfish would actually work better in South Florida. Just because someone's a legendary talk talent. But when someone becomes married to the Republican Party, and he was married to the Republican Party, just like Hannity, were mouthpieces. I used to say that Limbaugh was the maitre d' and Hannity there was the bellhop, okay? And now they're both almost in equal footing. So you have these folks that are more or less, well, I guess in some ways masquerading as now America Firsters and nationalists and really concerned about our sovereignty and all those things, when they didn't care, because when George Bush proclaimed in 1991 at the State of the Union that he was welcoming in the New World Order, there was no gripes. There was no grievances. There was no outrage. They just said and they supported those wars, those senseless wars. I'll tell you, Donald Trump continues to hammer the Bushes and these senseless wars that we should have never, ever entered into, that the Bushies got us into. Pat Buchanan, this is quite interesting, and you can look at this. Matter of fact, just on Breitbart, says Pat Buchanan, trend worldwide is national sovereignty, not Bush's New World Order. Again, it's Pat Buchanan, and he's on the McLaughlin Group, although, you know, McLaughlin is long gone. But they kept that namesake because that was the program, and they still have that on PBS. And I guess you can catch it online too. But, you know, Buchanan, he's still knocking it out of the park. And I'm just really glad that there was someone that stood up in the political realm, took the heat. I mean, many of us took the heat in the alternative media. And even though I was on stations back in the early 1990s, you know, I was still an alternative perspective, even though socially conservative. I was one that absolutely was a believer and was the first America First themed radio program back in the day. And, you know, and I worked with others like Chuck Carter, which I've talked about, the late, great Chuck Carter. You know, there were several of us that were, it was a little club really in a way, in terms of us getting this information out in the early stages. And then of course, as online and internet and more people started to learn how to do podcasts and those things all became, because they didn't exist at that time. If we weren't on radio stations, there's newsletters. You know, you would try to maybe be a guest on a radio program, but there was no internet, there was no streaming, there was no podcasting. What I did, and I've talked about this before, is that I infiltrated the media. Yeah, I mean, I had a communications degree, and yes, I appeared as a guest on some shows. I had this vision, and I decided to enter talk radio and try to put my best, you know, efforts forward. And thankfully, you know, I ended up getting a paid position, and then that also led into national syndication eventually. So I feel really blessed, and it was really a wonderful time. But I never took a back step. You know, I never backpedaled on my priorities and my principles and my patriotism. And that's the way we did the program was, you know, we hit the Fed. At that time, we use the term deep state. But we talked about, you know, the rogue state. We talked about the New World Order. We talked about the dangers of globalism and one worldism and internationalism. So it's just really great that now many of these things are part of the common vernacular. You know, it has become more mainstream. And sadly, we have people like, you know, AJ and the Bullhorn and people that mix truth and fiction and fast and loose with the facts and you just can't deal in half truths. If you're going to deal with stuff that's of conspiracy and controversy, you got to nail things down. I mean, if you're not in command of those facts, then you say that based on what I do know, this is what I believe. may have happened, but you have to let people know that you can't state things as facts if they're not facts. You can't mislead people, and you can't sensationalize the news. And I say here all the time, I'm not here to make news or break news or fake news. You know, I'm here to tell you to the best of my ability that I am a truth teller, I'm a truth seeker, and I know you folks are too, or you wouldn't be listening. So back to this article, Pat Buchanan, trend worldwide. The trend worldwide is national sovereignty, not Bush's New World Order. And so the populist conservative author and columnist and former presidential candidate Pat Buchanan says the trend worldwide is towards President Trump's worldview of national sovereignty and away from the Bush dynasty's desired New World Order. During a panel discussion on the McLaughlin Group, Buchanan said in response to Trump's anti-globalism, pro-Americanism speech at the United Nations that the president is leading the trend worldwide. The trend worldwide now is not towards George W. Bush, H.W. Bush's New World Order. It's not towards global democracy. It's not towards transnationalism anymore. It's not towards institutions like the World Trade Organization. I can also throw in the World Bank, Buchanan said. All around the world, tribalism, nationalism, sovereignty, these are all becoming issues, Buchanan continued. But I just love the fact, in essence here, that Buchanan can't help but remind us of the failings of the Bush dynasty and how they set back this country. And of course, we've talked about the Obama nation, you know, the imposter in chief. And I talked about the Federal Reserve last week and the fact that the reason I don't think Trump will bring up the Federal Reserve except for quibbling about interest rates and maybe some arcane policies or some policies that affect, you know, the economy to some degree. But he's not going to talk about their ownership. He's not going to talk about who the national debt is, the majority of it is truly owed and owned by. He's not going to talk about the fiat currency. He's not going to talk about Article 1, Section 8 and Article 1, Section 10 of the United States Constitution. I think the reason is it's not that Russia has anything on him. It's because the bankers have something on Trump, and that is that they have leverage because where do you think he got his loans? And came the billionaire on paper, not just because of what he did with his properties and his business acumen, but because he continued to get bailed out, just like the major media companies continue to get bailed out. And they, you know, the mom and pop store, they could never live off of the magnitude of debt and leverage, but certainly iHeartMedia can. And there's various other, too big to fail banks, too big to fail corporations and companies that you and I would never be able to have those type of protective privileges. But that's the way it works. And so, you know, as much good as Trump has done and will continue to do, the fact of the matter is that we need to get all the secrets out, all the treasure trove of secrets. And again, my area of expertise is not aliens and UFOs and all that, but if whatever's there, release it. Whatever's there about JFK, you know, don't hold back that 2% or 5% of the documents. Everything should come out. Whatever happened in terms of these Bush wars, as long as it doesn't put, you know, intelligence agencies, I'm not talking about the ones that are sitting in the Pentagon. I'm talking about the ones that are actually active in the field in harm's way. You know, in terms of methods, in terms of, you know, identities, that kind of thing, you know, then we need to know. And that's, we need to have transparency.
The conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.